Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow.
And I'm Flora Lichtman. Today on the podcast, with the help of psychology, we'll explain how to embrace a positive wintertime mindset.
I enjoy the winter. I love the winter. The winter is to be loved, not to be feared.
Ira, we are in the winter doldrums right now. The days are short. It is so cold here in New York.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I do not love it.
No one loves it.
Are you a winter person? Do you have strategies to get through the winter?
You know, I developed a strategy when I was going to school in Buffalo. And you know what those winters are like. It is so windy. It is so cold. And you know what? I figured out if you turn backwards, you walk backwards into the wind with your parka over your head, it actually helps.
You're never going to see my eyes again because I'm just everywhere I go, I'm going to be backwards. And you know what I learned this week is that there are actually scientifically supported things you can do to better cope with winter. Our next guest traveled to some of the coldest, darkest places on Earth to learn how people there don't just survive, but thrive in winter. And one of the key ingredients is a positive wintertime mindset. Joining me to tell us more is Dr. Carrie Leibowitz, health psychologist and author of How to Winter, Harness Your Mindset to Thrive on Cold, Dark, or Difficult Days. She's based in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Have you always been a winter lover?
No, I'm here with you today as a reformed winter hater, actually.
That's a relief.
Yeah, right. So there's, you know, I think hope out there for you out there if you're feeling like this can never be you, because I thought it could never be me for a long time. I grew up at the Jersey Shore, which is a beach town, and, you know, summer reigned supreme, and winter was the season that you just have to get through in between the best times of the year. And I really struggled with the winter growing up, really did not like the feeling of being cold, really had a hard time getting up, especially for school in the winter, in the darkness, but also really feel like I was steeped in a culture that was very celebratory of summer, and where sort of the general assumption was like, yeah, winter is depressing.
Yeah, there was a bias.
Totally. Yeah. Huge bias.
So you were converted by your own research.
I was converted by my own research and by my experience moving to Northern Norway, which was a thing that I did mostly on purpose, but also, you know, sort of like applied to do a research study in the Arctic to understand how people there make it through these very long, dark winters with relatively low rates of winter depression, and sort of, you know, never really actually expected to get the grant funding to go. And then I got it and I was like, oh my God, what have I done? Like, am I really gonna blow up my life and move to this place? And also, how will I survive this Arctic winter?
But you did.
I did, and I learned a lot, and that was, you know, where my reformation really took place, was in Northern Norway, where I was exposed to, I mean, both a very special winter. I think, you know, Northern Norway is a very magical winter wonderland, but also was exposed to a culture and a perspective where people were really doing things to embrace the season, really looking at winter differently, really approaching it differently, and where I learned a lot of lessons that, you know, even in places with perhaps slightly less magical winters that I have lived since then, I've been able to take with me, you know, through to other kinds of winters.
Yeah. I mean, I would have expected if you go to the Arctic, you would find widespread misery in the winter. But that is not what you found.
If you look at lots of places in the world, including Norway and Northern Norway, including Iceland, including the Netherlands, they actually tend to have lower rates of seasonal affective disorder than we would expect. And so it's clear that people all over the world who live through these very extreme, long, dark winters are able to do so without a lot of the winter depression that sort of paradoxically we see at, you know, lower latitudes and milder climates.
Carrie, what is their secret?
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of things, I think, but, you know, part of the secret is that I think they have a really different mindset and approach to the season. And so a big part of what that looks like is this willingness to adapt to winter. So I almost think there's an advantage of having a really extreme winter, because when you live in a place like where I was living in Norway, where the sun actually doesn't rise for 2 months, it's obvious that that is going to affect you. And it's obvious that you can and should change your behavior to adjust to that. It's okay that you feel more tired in the winter, duh, because the sun isn't rising and you're in the Arctic. So obviously you're going to dress appropriately for the winter weather. Whereas I think people, you know, at more middle latitudes, we try to pretend like we can just carry on the same as in other seasons, like winter sort of shouldn't affect us. And so I think it's both our perspective and our approach. And of course, I also think there's a lot of cultural things and infrastructure in places that are really built for winter that enable people to embrace the season differently, as well as sort of, you know, their individual mindsets and perspectives.
And we're going to get into all that. We asked our listeners for their wintertime survival strategies. And first of all, I have to say, Michigan, Wisconsin, upper Midwest was out in force for this one, as we might expect. And a lot of the strategies we heard were Nordic inspired. So here's a clip.
My name is Shannon Mitchell from Grand Haven, Michigan. And how do I get through the lake effect darky winters that we have here? I have adopted a Finnish lifestyle from my experiences up in the Kiwanis, which is saunas, cold plunges, Nordic skiing. And when the sun is out, it's guns out, no matter what the situation is.
I mean, this is both exemplifies this idea that we can really learn from the Nordics and apply it to wherever we are. But also, you know, what I like about these strategies is that they work with the season to find the opportunities in winter, right? What things are better in the winter?
A cold plunge? I don't know.
A cold plunge. Well, a cold plunge you can really only do in the winter.
True.
And so the question is, what seasonal activities can you give yourself in winter to look forward to annually?
Let me run another listener strategy by you. What do you think about this one?
Okay.
Hi, this is Tony in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm sitting in a Chick-fil-A parking lot having my peppermint shake. That's one help. It's starting to snow, but my most regular thing that I go to is a nice cup of tea and the Hallmark Channel. It seems to help quite a bit.
Tony, you and my mom are birds of a feather. Cup of tea and the Hallmark Channel, like you could be in my house any day in December. But, you know, I think what's special about the Hallmark Channel, right, is it's this seasonal ritual that you look forward to. It's such a small ritual. And so many of these ways of embracing winter is like, they sound trivial. They're basic. But when you do that with a little bit of intention, this is one of those strategies that takes on an outsized meaning because it transforms something that we usually feel is unpleasant or uncomfortable or a negative of the cold and makes it into an opportunity for this other kind of sensory pleasure that is small but comforting.
No, it's so true. I mean, hot frosty does work better in December than in July.
Yeah, you can't watch hot frosty in July. Like, get out of here.
After the break, spring winter. What is it, and can it help you feel less bitter about the dog days of February?
When it's called out and you have a word for it, you can start noticing it and paying attention to it and experiencing it differently.
Support for Science Friday comes from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, working to enhance public understanding of science, technology, and economics in the modern world.
All right, let me run another listener message by you.
Hi, this is Dee from North Manchester. And I was sharing how I make it through the winter. I'm 72, so I've made it through several. Every fall, I plant more daffodils in the ground, and then I just wait impatiently for them to sprout in the spring. And it's always something to look forward to.
Yes, I love this one also, Dee. I mean, this one does two things, right? So it gives Dee something to do in the fall as the days are getting shorter, which is a time that I think many people sort of consciously or unconsciously have sort of winter panic, you know, like the days are getting shorter, we're going into it, we're like, oh no, here we go. And so an activity that is seasonal to that time of year can really counteract that. And then the other thing it does is it gives Dee a marker of early springtime. So one of the strategies that I really love is the Sami, who are the indigenous people of northern Scandinavia, actually have 8 seasons. So they have winter, spring, summer, fall, and also 4 bridge seasons. So spring, summer, summer, fall, fall, winter, and spring, winter. And I think spring, winter is a really handy sub-season to sort of separate out in our hearts and minds, because often depending on where you live, anytime between, you know, mid-February to late April, early May, you're sort of in this transition period where maybe mentally you're over the winter, you're kind of done with it, and you get that first warm day of spring and you're like, that's it, I'm putting my coat away, like I'm done. And then the next day it's cold again, you know, and it's not spring, but it's not winter. It's spring winter.
I love spring winter, and actually having you name it really does bring me to a very, very specific memories of it. I almost can smell it, like that petrichor, that sort of like earth smell that comes back when the ground isn't frozen anymore. And I can see my front yard where there's a lot of little crocuses popping through. And it's interesting that just giving it the name somehow then carves it out in my own mind.
Totally. I mean, you know, I think having the language to describe these things is really powerful. And I think this is even, you know, the whole power of talking about your wintertime mindset. You know, you already had a wintertime mindset before it was named for you. But when it's called out and you have a word for it, you can start noticing it and paying attention to it and experiencing it differently.
Yeah, I want to talk more about this positive wintertime mindset. Is this like snowflake pilling ourselves? Like we just, how do you define it?
So, you know, I use that word very specifically. So we think of mindsets as sort of the core assumption about something in the world and how it works. And so the truth is that lots of things in the world are ambiguous, right? Like stress is a good example. Stress can be harmful for our health and well-being, but it also can be helpful for our performance and our health and well-being, right? The stress response evolved to help us meet our goals. And so when we encounter stress, what is our mindset about it and how does that determine something like stress's impact on us? And you can think about that with winter as well. So winter has objective qualities. Winter is objectively dark, cold, usually wet, but the meaning of cold, dark, and wet is very ambiguous. Cold, dark, and wet can be refreshing, rejuvenating, cozy, magical.
That never occurred to me until you just said it.
To most people, but really it can be if you let it be.
We had a listener who left us a message, and when I heard it, I was like, yes, this listener has the positive wintertime mindset. Listen to this.
Hello, my name is Cody. So I, typically living on the Oregon coast, we get all sorts of overcast. It is pretty oppressive for a lot of people. Me, though, I don't know if I'm a vampire, but I just soak it up. Winter is my favorite time.
Yeah, so I think Cody has the positive wintertime mindset. Some people just sort of like that overcast or inherently feel that it is cozy. But I think even if you're not naturally like Cody, it's a thing that you can train yourself to appreciate a little bit.
Okay, and let me run another listener's coping mechanism by you.
Hi, this is Dan in Bear Lake, Michigan. I adopted a couple of dogs. They love the snow, and they truly love it when I get outside with them. So they're helping me a lot in not just coping with, but enjoying winter.
What do you think?
I mean, I think dogs are good for everything. And
can't go wrong with a dog.
Can't go wrong with a dog. Right. I mean, a dog is a really great motivator for getting outside. But I also think, you know, there's something so pure, right, about a kid's relationship to the snow or a dog's relationship to the snow. You're just experiencing the fun of it is something we can learn from dogs.
Let's talk about seasonal affective disorder. How many folks actually fit the diagnosis for that?
So seasonal affective disorder is really interesting because I think there's a lot of popular misconceptions about it. I think a lot of people think that it is a mild form of depression, that it is sort of a lower threshold than clinical depression. But the truth is that seasonal affective disorder is a subtype of clinical depression. So you first have to meet the criteria of clinical depression. It has to severely disrupt your quality of life and your daily functioning. And I think a lot of people have the experience of feeling affected by winter, of feeling like they're more tired in the winter, or they're less motivated, they have less energy, they feel less social. And actually, we can see that as a natural and normal response to the seasonal changes in light. You know, if you look at every other living thing on earth, plant or animal, they're all changing their behavior or slowing down in some way in the winter. You know, a lot of the times when people have this feeling like, oh, I'm so tired in the winter, what's wrong with me? It's almost because we've pathologized having any response to winter, and we're so hesitant to adapt to the season that we're quick to label it winter depression when in fact it might not be.
Carrie, it seems like we have a lot of shorthand for this like negative view of winter, you know, winter doldrums, winter blues. Do we need a new shorthand for winter, like winter whoopies, glacial giddies? Brainstorm with me here, Carrie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's be the winter PR team, you know? I think winter wonder, winter wellness, you know, it doesn't maybe have to be alliterative,
I guess. It has to be. Okay, listeners, we know, listeners, you're the cleverest among us. We want your thoughts on this. Call us with your winter rebranding and let's get a movement going. 646-767-6532. Give us a positive winter catchphrase. 646-767-6532. Get your pencils. 646-767-6532. Carrie, thank you so much for the polar positivity today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I can't wait to hear what the listeners come up with. It's going to be great.
Dr. Carrie Leibowitz, health psychologist and author of How to Winter, Harness Your Mindset to Thrive on Cold, Dark, or Difficult Days. Carrie's based in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And that is about all we have time for. Lots of folks helped make the show happen, including
Santiago Flores,
Rasha Aridi,
Phyllis Samares,
Robin Kasmer.
I'm Flora Lichtman. Thanks for listening.